What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your host, Caroline. This week, I'm doing a bit of a topic book review hybrid. Today, we're going to talk about the Let Them Theory, which is coined by Mel Robbins, and she recently came out with a book, Let Them Theory. I read it. I've been seeing it everywhere. It's been a pretty viral book. So I'm sure that if you're on like a health and wellness side of the internet, if not from my own Instagram story, you've seen this book from somebody else. You've maybe read it yourself. And I want to talk about my opinions on the book and the concept altogether. So we're going to dive into a concept today that's simple in theory, but can be wildly transformative in practice. And that's the Let Them Theory. At its core, it's a mindset shift about releasing control and allowing people to show you who they are without overanalyzing them, trying to fix them or fight that. Whether that is a friend who you don't think is putting the effort in, a boyfriend, girlfriend, partner who doesn't meet you halfway or maybe lacks some key characteristics that you need, a coworker who's constantly nagging you. This theory is telling you to let them. Don't fight that. Let a person flake, let them walk away, let somebody make their own choices, let somebody be who they are, even if it bothers you. Because when you stop managing other people's behavior, you actually have a much better chance of having peace, and you can reclaim your peace in that way. Your power, your clarity, whatever you want to call it. And so in this episode, I want to break down those key ideas behind the Let Them Theory and examples of how maybe I have applied it in the past or how I plan to apply it in the future to my own life. And we can talk about why choosing to let something go is often the strongest move you can make. I think a lot of it comes from thinking about what life feels like when you don't just let somebody be, when you try to change someone, fight something, when you try to justify somebody's actions, right? Like, how often do we feel like we're trying to make excuses for other people? Whether it's, you know, a guy that you're texting who blows you off and you're like, oh, but it's okay. Like, it was casual. He was busy. We forgot. Like, no, because if somebody wanted to, they would. But if you want something to work and you want something to be something else, you're constantly making excuses for it. If somebody is being rude to you or making you feel uncomfortable at work, but maybe you keep justifying that behavior as try to make excuses in your head and try to like get them to change the way that they're behaving by how you treat them. All of these are examples of when we kind of fight what reality is and we try to change who other people are showing us they are. And so honestly, when we don't live by the let them mindset, life can feel pretty exhausting. You might constantly be questioning people's actions, trying to read between the lines. That is huge. Always trying to read between the lines and figure out what somebody means if people just aren't straight up and trying to, again, justify somebody's behavior, find a good excuse for somebody. You might always be wondering what you could do differently to make somebody like you or to make somebody act the way that you wish they would. And I bet a lot of you are thinking right now, and you can think of maybe friends or past relationships where this feels super accurate. You were trying to get somebody to like you, somebody to think differently about you, or to act in a way that you wish they would. I know if I feel like somebody has the wrong impression of me, I get so frustrated by that, and I try to work so hard to change their mindset around me and to fight that. And I think about it a lot if that's the case. Like, if my reputation with somebody I think is tarnished, or maybe they're spreading a false narrative because we had one situation and it's kind of blowing up, or maybe there are just people that you don't know, but you know that they're friendly with somebody who doesn't like you, and so you just assume they don't like you, and so you get uncomfortable around them, or you're trying to change the narrative that they might have around you and like working overtime to do that. I don't know if maybe that's just me, but I think I'm very sensitive to not necessarily what other people think about me, but if I don't necessarily care if we're not friends or if we don't like each other, but if you have an idea of me that I think is wrong, that bothers me. And I feel like it frustrates me and takes a lot of energy out of me. So that's an example that I think of, but maybe you guys are thinking of your own personal examples of times where you try to control the way other people think or what they do, whether that is like through actually trying to change them or whether it's just subconsciously draining a lot of your energy. It's frustrating, it's draining, and it honestly, it makes it feel like the things around you are misaligned, like you're working overtime to hold relationships together and to make people feel certain ways about you, and none of it's meant to be that hard. You might be feeling anxious, second-guessing yourself, or trying to control things that were really never yours to control in the first place. I've definitely been there, like I just explained, you know, stuck in my own head, wondering why somebody isn't acting how I want them to, or acting back to me how I'm treating them. Because we think that if we treat somebody some way, they're automatically going to treat us the same way back, and they're going to reflect our character, and that rarely happens. And it's so common to fight that behavior, and to, again, try to justify it, try to continue working overtime with how you're showing up, because we hope that it'll click with them and they'll start doing it back. We do all of these things instead of just stepping back and letting somebody reveal who they really are to us. Because that's what somebody is doing with their actions and with their words. They're just being true to who they are. And it's exhausting for us if we're always trying to change that. So that, in a nutshell, is what Let Them is about. It's letting people be who they are, and then not you trying to change that, you deciding what that means for you. Taking people and things and situations at face value, letting them do what they're doing, letting them think what they think, letting them say what they say, and getting rid of all of the extra layers of tension and resistance and frustration that's created when you try to make that situation something that it's not. I did really like reading this book. I do think that the concept could have been wrapped up into something shorter, though. It was a little bit long, still an enjoyable read. Like, I won't honestly really complain about too long of a book I like to read, but I want to break down 3 key points that I really liked from the book to you guys with examples of each of, you know, how it could impact your life. So 1 is the idea that releasing control reclaims your own power and peace. A quote from the book that Mel Robbins said related to this is that when you stop trying to control things that aren't yours to control, you stop wasting your energy, you reclaim your time, your peace of mind, and your focus. The truth about control is that it's often rooted in fear or insecurity of something. Maybe we want to control what other people think about us. We want to control how other people act towards us. We just want to control the people around us. Maybe we want, you know, our friends to be better or act differently because your closest people in your life are a reflection of you and you don't think it's a great reflection of you. Maybe you want, you know, your partner to change and match you better and do some things differently. Think about where that comes from. That's a fear of judgment, of people not thinking your friends or your partner are good enough for you or just good enough in general. It's a fear of maybe being dragged down or influenced by the people around you. It's feeling insecure that maybe you couldn't do better or that people are going to think negatively on you. There's always a deeper reason why we feel the need to control the people around us. But like we said before, and like this book talks about a lot, is that it truly is impossible to change another person. And often the more we push for that and the more we try, for the most part, it's human nature for that to actually demotivate somebody. A person can only make a change when they decide that they want to make a change themselves and they want to do it themselves. We can support people, we can influence them, but you can't do it for them. And the more that you root yourself in another person's change, or the more that you are dying for somebody else to do something differently. One of the examples in the book was one of Mel's friends wanting her husband to be a lot fitter and healthier. She felt like he was living a pretty lazy lifestyle. But the more that you tell somebody that, and the more that you tell them that you want them to go to the gym, etc., it might become an even more daunting thing to them. And they might also feel like when they're doing it, they're losing because they're only doing it because you told them to, and they're letting you win because they're doing, you know, what you told them to do. A person ultimately has to be driven to do something based on their own choices. One way that she said you could actually try to influence is by not telling somebody they have to do something, but modeling it. So if you're working out often and you're looking great and you're feeling great and you're, you know, celebrating that and modeling that for your partner and the person around you, chances are they're going to want some of that positivity too, and it's going to naturally motivate them to ask you questions, to learn about it, to join in, and eventually start doing it themselves. That is one thing, but that's not controlling another person. That actually is controlling your actions and maybe having some hope that that's going to influence somebody else at the end of the day, but it is not choosing to do it for them, and it is not actually doing it for them. And when you stop micromanaging others, you reclaim a lot of the energy that you are wasting by trying to do that, and you also gain back a lot of mental clarity about what the reality is. Something this made me think about a lot is in a work environment too. I have dabbled in different corporate and startup environments, in internships and in a job I'm in marketing right now that I'm doing part-time while finishing up my last year of college. And it can get really, really frustrating working with other people for no reason other than people are different than you. Their priorities are different. They think differently. They have different ideas of what's right and what's wrong. They have different focuses in work. And it's hard not to always feel like you want to butt heads with somebody or that you disagree with somebody, because maybe you have an idea in your head and you're like, this is a great idea, it's the best thing ever, and they don't like it, or you don't even get the chance to voice it and they think something completely different. Maybe you just honestly don't like somebody's personality and character at work, and you are, you know, on the same team as them and work closely with them, so you have to deal with it and listen to it. Or maybe somebody says something to you and you just don't feel like they're respecting you. You don't think they're acknowledging the work that you've done, because
I know firsthand how much stress can mess with your hormones. Between work, life, and everything else, it's so easy to feel completely out of balance. And I know I'm not the only one here. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. Now, you know we love Happy Mammoth products, and I want to tell you about their product Hormone Harmony and their new Hormone Quiz. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula that fine-tunes your hormonal system. It doesn't just help with estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. It also helps with stress hormones such as cortisol, a little troublemaker that can contribute to so many frustrating impacts. Happy Mammoth now has a Hormone Quiz that helps you get to the root of your concerns and even provide some clarity and peace of mind into what's going on with your hormones. After taking the super quick 2-minute quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today. Find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire order with our code GOALS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code GOALS for 15% off today.
Everybody is focused on their own career and their own work, and not everybody's, you know, watching everyone else's move or clapping for everyone all the time. And essentially, just in my experience, I've just recognized that working 9 to 5 with the same people all the time, how could that not get frustrating? How could you not come into situations all the time where you want to change somebody else's mind, you want to change somebody else's actions, you get frustrated with them? So it's made me admire both of my parents a lot for being in working environments, but especially my dad, because he's had long careers. My mom's a nurse, but she works remotely right now, which is why I'm fitting this on my dad a little bit more. But I just can't imagine having the success and longevity that he has had in his career and dealing with all of that and having to just protect your peace and let things go when you need to let them go, because truly things would get on my nerves every single day. And I think that you have to have a lot of self-control to be able to say let them in those types of situations. The second big lesson from this book is that people are showing you who they are. Instead of trying to change them, you need to believe them. This is huge. A quote that Mel Robbins said in the book about this is, "So much time and energy is wasted on forcing other people to match our expectations. And the truth is, if someone else, a person you're dating, a business partner, a family member, if they're not showing up how you need them, do not try to force them to change. Let them be themselves, because they're revealing who they are to you." This one, I think, particularly applies to dating a lot. It also applies to friendships, but it makes me think of dating in ways that I've acted in the past and kind of have a tendency to act a little bit. I don't know. People meet a lot of people, and there are times where, I don't know, at least I go through where I'm like, ugh, I don't like anyone right now. I don't find anyone attractive. Nothing's happening. And then when I do meet somebody and I get like a little glimmer of hope, I think they're cute, I have a crush on them, it's hard not to try to make them into somebody they're not. It's hard not to get ahead of yourself and start kind of like making somebody up and romanticizing somebody. And then if their actions don't line up to that, to try to make excuses for it. I know this has happened to me like a few times over the past few years where I've met somebody, it's like, seemed really great upon first meeting, and then the behavior just doesn't really line up after that, but I continue to give like chance after chance after chance. Maybe they're just like not communicative. They're canceling things last minute, standing things up, blah, blah, blah. And every time I'm like kind of justifying the behavior or making excuses for it or continuing to like overextend myself, waiting around even if you haven't heard from them because you were supposed to have plans and like still keeping your whole night free, and then they blow it off in the end anyways, like taking up your time, your energy, your thoughts of trying to figure out what the hell is going on and trying to read between lines when you absolutely shouldn't have to, because anything that is right and that is meant to be and any person that deserves to have access to your time and energy will be straight up, will be clear, and you won't even be having to deal with those things in general. But it happens, and sometimes you're like, well, something seems better than nothing, so I want to try to make this work. And you kind of allow to be treated less than you know you deserve, but you're using all of this mental energy to try to change somebody and try to prove. Sometimes I think that you even like stop liking the person and the interest stops, but you want to prove that you're deserving of somebody's time and energy, or that you're deserving of somebody changing the way they're acting, because it might feel so unbelievable that somebody is treating you with as much disrespect as they are, or being so aloof and being so unclear, and you're almost trying to prove that you can change them even after the romanticizing and all of that is gone. At least I think that's what it is for me. It very easily becomes a game of like, well, why does this person think they get to treat me like that? So then you keep pushing, but really you just keep allowing them to treat you like that. Whereas if you say, okay, I'm gonna let them be who they are and I'm gonna walk away because that doesn't match my energy, you're gonna save yourself a lot of time, stress. You're gonna protect your own peace, and it's gonna be a reinforcement of who you are and what you deserve. So I think that is a message that I need to take with me more in my life, because you always know when you have a gut feeling about a person and when they show you who they are the first time. Like, you usually know. And it's with friendships too. Like, when things come to an end in a friendship, whether it crashes and burns, whether you've tried, you know, so many times to mend it or put more effort into it, and it like feels like a one-way street kind of thing. Like, you always know. It's always just about dragging it on and having like a little bit of hope or wanting to prove a point or a fear of rejection and all of that. That's what's keeping you there, but it's only draining your energy. So when people are showing you who they are, we've got to believe them. We've got to believe them, guys. We can't change people. And then the last point from the book that I want to share is that let them, this mindset, this action of saying let them, it isn't passive. It actually takes thought, because it is about actively choosing peace over choosing the chaos, or over your ego sometimes, over needing somebody to be a certain way, over needing to prove that you deserve something, over needing to prove that you're worth changing for. You know, it's hard. It's not as easy as it sounds sometimes to just say let them, because sometimes it means being wrong. It means losing a person. It means, you know, that sense of failure or rejection or whatever the actual fear that's driving it might be. The quote that I want to share from this section that Mel Robbins said is, focusing on what you can't control makes you stressed. Focusing on what you can control makes you powerful. The more that you let go of needing things to be a certain way that aren't, the more you open up your energy, your time, your thoughts for things that are actually aligned with your life to work out. For the things that don't take your mental energy to fight, to just come in and be. The more that you stop fighting other people from taking your time to, you know, block off your whole weekend in case they want to hang out, from taking time to have an argument with somebody or need to text them back all of the time, the more time that you have back to journal, read a book, go to the gym, spend time with people you actually care about and who are actually aligned with you, the more you let go of people who don't actually fit in your life, the more space you create for the people who do to naturally come in and integrate in your life and make it a better place. I would think about this one going deeper when it comes to a job search, a school search, whatever it is of looking for something to get like accepted to, something that you're applying to, because a lot of the time the actual results of things are out of our control. We could be more than deserving for a job we could be, you know, more than perfect for the role and still not be picked. Maybe because there are 500 applicants and they only looked at a few. Maybe because somebody was referred and somebody, they got their eyes on somebody else before you. Or maybe they just couldn't see what it was that you have that makes you know that you were good for that. When it comes to colleges, we see all the time, like, the same person could apply to 10 schools that are supposedly in the same acceptance rate range, and it could be completely random what they get into and what they don't. Those things, while we can, you know, increase our opportunities by being more qualified for them, by trying to start conversations and network and have connections, they are out of our control. And it can be a punch to the gut when you, like, tie your worthiness and your success to being accepted to a certain program or job, or when you kind of get ahead of yourself and see yourself in this role, and then it's somebody else's choice that it's not yours, and it gets taken away, and it feels like, you know, people didn't see you for who you are, and you want to prove them right, and you want to prove that you're different, or you want to try to control the situation and get them to accept you and get them to want you. But the truth is, if something like that happens, and if we let it happen, something else that is more aligned for us with people who want us to be there and who see our qualities and who see our strengths will come along and will accept us. So the more that we let things go that aren't choosing us, the more space we create for things to naturally come in that maybe we don't even know our opportunities right now, but are waiting for us down the line. Another reason why what we were so attached to now but didn't work out didn't happen. You know, you never know what's opening up next week, next month, next year. So there you have my lessons from the Let Them Theory. Obviously, this was a quick recap, but hopefully a little bite of how you could use this in your life, whether you want to read the book or not. I really don't care. Or you want to just listen to my takeaways and my thoughts of it. That's fine by me. But I really do think it's a small concept, like a small thought, ideology. It seems so obvious and so basic, but it really does go a long way. And it really can empower you to just not stand for things that aren't right for you, to not try to control situations and waste your energy trying to have control over things that aren't meant for you to have control over. When we can just let other things happen, let other people be, let situations be what they are, we create a lot more peace in our lives, which ultimately just lets us lead them in a better way. So this is definitely a concept that I'm going to keep coming back to in my mind. And yeah, I'm excited to see, honestly, like, how that changes behaviors. I think especially with people, not trying to control people, not trying to, you know, romanticize them and see them as something they are, but just letting people show you who they are one way or another. I think that's a pretty powerful thing to stick to. So I'm going to try to hold myself to that. I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode and got something from it. If you're not already, make sure you're following the show on Spotify or Apple, wherever you listen. You can always leave a rating. We appreciate it so much. And share this episode with somebody who might like it as well. This show grows one person at a time. We're so grateful for all of your support. And if you're not already, go follow me on Instagram at Caroline Kanine. Follow my twin sister, Anne Catherine, who is my co-host of the show, at Anne Catherine Kanine, and our podcast account is at Girls with Goals Pod. We'll see you next week. Bye.